your Bibles and turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I want to take time to thank all of you for your help in packing. Now, if you help pack, come help unpack. Tell us where you put in things. Those who help load, we appreciate very much all your help. I want to thank Pastor Caleb this morning for carrying the load at this time in intermission, and looking forward to the day when Pastor Potter will be here. So keep praying. The Lord will guide and direct. As I was asked to kind of fill in a little bit during the time in between, I wondered, you know, what should I preach? You have been fed well on the Word of God, and I have great confidence that you're going to be fed well in the years ahead. It'll be different. It'll be, each one has their own method of preaching and so forth. But one thing I noticed in the past and I anticipate in the future is the importance of the Bible. The pastors increasingly pointed out the importance. In history, our nation has been recognized by people who put emphasis, put a value on the Word of God. Now, I wish it was still true today. Rather than putting down the Word of God, that they would put value in the Word of God. Patrick Henry said, if I could leave each of my children $1 million, but could not leave them a heritage of faith in God, I would leave them nothing of value and unfit to face life. The Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Oh, if that were true today. And Thomas Jefferson said, the Bible is the cornerstone of liberty. I have always said, I will always say that the studious pursuit of sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands. Each one of these men put value upon the Word of God. Lincoln, on September 7th, 1864, a committee of black people from Baltimore presented a Bible to President Lincoln. In acknowledging the gift, Lincoln said, in regard to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good the Savior gave to this world was communicated through this book, but for it we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in it. To you I return my most sincere thanks for the very eloquent copy of the great book of God which you have presented. And oh, that we had people today, leaders today, who's put a value upon the Word of God. Psalms 119, verses 17 through 24. The psalmist also placed an importance upon God's Word. And Psalms 119, of course, is the longest psalm in the Bible. He emphasizes the ministry of the Bible in his life, in the life of mankind, especially in the life of the believer. The psalmist in these verses emphasizes the practical use of the Word of God in our lives. And those circumstances of life change. We might not always like the change that takes place, but change takes place. As you live, you find that change takes place quite often. And it's not always according to your will, but as Brother Benton sang this morning, God knows the paths that he has for us, and we can trust him with it. But through circumstances of life change, come and go, yet God's word does not change. It is forever the same. If you look at verse 89 of Psalms 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And as a challenge to you and I this morning, we want to see the psalmist's relationship to the word of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We're thankful for the word of God, which is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our light unto our foot. But Lord, we're thankful that you give us the light of your word. And Lord, you guide us and direct us through it. Lord, we pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would guide us and direct us. Pray, Lord, you protect my lips and not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalms 119, and beginning with verse number 17, I want to read down through verse number 24. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud, thou that are cursed, which do err from the commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servants did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So as we see here, the psalmist and in what he wrote, the psalmist, first of all, in verses 17 down through verse number 20, shows us the desire for the word of God. The psalmist had a desire for the word of God. As you look at each of these verses, you glean a number of desires that the psalmist had in relation to the word. In verse 17, that I may keep thy word. He had a desire for an obedience to the word of God, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You know, James points that out to us in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For he is like unto a man. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And notice the last phrase of verse number 25. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Who? Who is the man that's going to be blessed? He that is a doer of the word and not a hearer only. The one who is obedient to the word of God, the one who takes the word of God and makes it a part of his life. And the psalmist had a desire to be obedient to the word of God, that I may keep thy word. Are we keeping the word of God? We hear the word of God, but do we keep the word of God? Do we obey the word of God in our life? And then in verse 18, may behold wondrous things. He had a desire to be obedient to the word of God, but he also had a desire, an understanding of the word of God, to understand what the word of God was saying to him particularly. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. the psalmist had a desire to know the Word of God, to see the wonders of God in the Word of God. You know, have you ever, as you read the Word of God, if you listen to the Word of God, just have an understanding of what it is telling us about God himself, about his person, the wonder of the God in his person, the wonder of his love that he has shown to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God in his sovereignty and his love provided salvation so rich and so free. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you to do so today. God provided, but the Bible tells of the wonders of his love for us that provided that. His grace, the wonders of his grace is found in the Word of God. And it is, if it not for his grace, where would I be today? And the wonders of his mighty works, to have an understanding of the wondrous, freely gift given in salvation. In John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee the living water. Oh, the Word of God explains to us how we can have that salvation so rich and so free. And then in verse 19, have not thy commandment, hide not thy commandment from me. You know, we often make this statement, I'm starved. You had breakfast this morning. Well, maybe some of you had breakfast this morning. Others of you didn't get up in time to have breakfast this morning, or you chose not to have breakfast this morning. But we often make that statement, I'm starved, or I'm famished. I'm so hungry I could eat a, and I'll let you fill in the blank. But, you know, we talk about the physical hunger that we have in our life, that we're so starved, and we're so hungry, and yet we... do I speak the same concerning the Word of God? Am I starved? Do I have a starving, a desire for the Word of God? Do I ever have that hunger to hear God's Word, to listen to the God's Word? In Job chapter 23 and verse 12, neither have I gone back from thy commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Most of us, I imagine, will at times skip reading the Word of God. But how many of us skip a meal? Oh, we like to sit down and eat. And there's nothing wrong with eating. I enjoy it myself. You can see that just by looking at me. But... do we have a real strong desire for the Word of God? Do we hunger and thirst after the Word of God? Do I, like the psalmist, desire God's Word? It's such demonstrated by the fact that I read the Word of God. Is there every day that I spend in God's Word? Do I take advantage? I'm thankful that each one of you are here this morning and you're under the teaching of the Word of God in Sunday school and in this morning in service. And this evening, Dr. Potter will be sharing the Word of God with us. Do we have a desire? Do we have a hunger for the Word of God? And so the psalmist, first of all, in verses 17 through verse number 20, he shares with us his desire for the Word. And then in verse 24, the first part of the 24th verse, the psalmist delights in the Word of God. Thy testimonies also are my delight. That word delight simply means something that gives pleasure and enjoyment. Think back over your life. Now, for some of you, that's not very long. For others of us, it's quite a while. But think back over your life. I imagine you recall such times which brought delight, brought pleasure, brought enjoyment into your life. That wedding date, Pastor Caleb this past week, delights in Wesley being born. And understand that his older sister is a mother for him. And, you know, delight in it. That marriage date, maybe some victory you had in a sports arena, but you delight in it. You took pleasure, enjoyment in it. Today there is that which you desire, delight in, being with a certain person, being involved in a particular activity, going to a certain place, brings a delight to your life. And do we delight in God's word? The psalmist says, "Thy testimonies are my delight." In seven verses in Psalms 119, the psalmist says he delights in God's statutes. He delights in God's judgments. He delights in God's word. David, in giving a description of God's word, says they are sweeter than honeycomb. Psalms 19, verse 10. More to desire are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. How many of you enjoy a little bit of honey once in a while? Now, I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. I'm talking about that stuff in the, comes in the jar. I enjoy honey. I don't see Mrs. Winook. Mrs. Winook is not here this morning. She has the sin table back here, the coffee table. I delight tea, and I like to put a teaspoon of honey in the tea, sweeten it up a little bit, especially if I have an orange spice tea. Honey just brings the flavor out just a little bit more. But honey, David says, more sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Do you see the word of God? Do you desire, do you like the word of God as being sweeter than honey to them? He states that the word of God rejoices, delights his soul. In Psalms 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What rejoices your heart this morning? Does the word of God rejoice your heart today? Being under the teaching of the word of God, reading the word of God, does it rejoice your heart this evening? In Psalms 1, the psalmist contrasts the two different categories of mankind. In Psalms 1 through 3, he describes the happy or the righteous man and his delight in the word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he shall doeth shall prosper. But notice verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And as a result of delighting in the law of the Lord, then he shall be planted, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, because of his delight in God's word and how God manifests his word to him. In describing the righteous man, he states one of the characteristics of that man is that the fact that he delights in the law of the Lord. And we could jump forward a good number of years to the Apostle Paul. Paul, in his writings, and find a characteristic that manifested the same way in Romans chapter 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So the psalmist says, I delight in the word of God. Paul says, I delight in the word of God. Are we saying and demonstrating the thought of the psalmist and Paul in our life? Do we delight in the word of God? Am I delighting in the law of God in my life, as the psalmist did, as Paul did in his life as well. And then they find the psalmist not only had a desire to be obedient to the word, not only did he delight in it, but the psalmist was directed by the word of God. Thy testimonies are my counsels, the last part of the 24th verse. Also, and my counselor, the testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. How many of you have ever gone to camp? Good number of you have been to camp. I enjoy going to camp. We used to go to camp up in the mountains of Colorado, and then we come back here, and we went to camp here, and I was a camp counselor. And if you did, as a young person, you went to camp, you had a counselor. And we had several young men here that counseled. Raise your hand if you counseled at a camp. Two of them here, one over here. Yeah. What did a counselor do for you? When you came to camp, you looked back and thought the person was either the greatest ever, and you came home from camp just delighting in the fact that you had the greatest counselor ever, or you came back from camp saying that counselor was a hindrance. I hope none of you guys, campers, came back and said you were a hindrance to them enjoying camp. But what does a counselor do? What is he? Well, they have a lot of things that they do. They are planning for you what you should do throughout the week. I should just sit down and let Micah come up here, or Josh come up here and explain to you what a camp counselor does. But a counselor is one who gives you guidance around the camp. He shows you where the different things are at camp. And I remember I was the one on the staff at camp, and we had swimming time in the afternoon. And you had the buddy system. You had to come down. Did you do that at Camp Joy? The buddy system, you had to have two. You couldn't go in the swimming pool unless there was two of them. And it had rained the night before. And you know me, I make stupid statements once in a while. And these two boys came down. And I said, now be careful when you go into the lake today, because it rained last night and that water is really wet. You know? I could not persuade those two kids to go swimming that afternoon. They were afraid that water was too wet for them. your counselor is there to give you guidance around camp. He gives you guidance as the daily schedule and encourage you and give you support. The counselor's there that stays with you all night long, and he prays with you and prays for you, and he has your spiritual needs in his mind. But the Lord is our greatest counselor. He is the one who we can look to at all times in our life. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But he is our counselor. He is the one who gives us guidance in our life. He is the one who has our spiritual welfare at heart at all times. And we do not know who wrote Psalms 119. Names have been given, such as David, Moses, Jeremiah. But whoever the psalmist was, he had faced some difficulties in his life. If you look at verses 22 and 23, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And so he had some difficult times. David, of course, had difficulty with Saul. He had difficulty with his son Absalom. He had difficulty with the Philistines and so forth. But Moses, as a leader, he had the complaining people, of the Hebrew people, in the wilderness. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, having to give a message of judgment to Israel. Whoever he was that wrote Psalms 119, he is saying, in these times, God was my counselor. God was the one who guided me. God was the one who showed me the way that I should go. He found counsel through God's word, which is the means of giving us counsel as well. In Psalms 119 and Psalms 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, for thy commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In Psalms 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Yes, I wonder, do we have a desire, as the psalmist did in Psalms 119, a desire to be obedient to the word of God, a delight in the word of God, and to be directed by the word of God? If we delight in his word, we learn it, we treasure it within and obey what it says, the Lord will work in us, through us, to accomplish great things for his glory. A statement made by Dr. Wiersbe. In closing this morning, I'd like to read a little poem that written by Catherine Blackburn Peck. I have no idea who she is, but she wrote this. Blessing my life through the years as they fly, guiding my footsteps towards mansions on high, growing more sweet as the glad days go by, the Bible, God's wonderful word, helping me over his life, helping me over life's uneven way, giving me strength through the heat of the day, bidding me pause for a season to pray, the Bible, God's wonderful word, whispering comfort when sorrows oppress, tending me grace for my deepest distress, cheering my soul with his soothing caress, the Bible, God's wonderful word, giving me courage and strength to endure, promising refuge eternal and sure, pointing me home to the land of the pure, the Bible, God's wonderful word. What does the Bible mean to you? The psalmist in these verses explains to us his delight in the word of God, the importance that he puts upon the word of God, that it is our counselor, it is our guide in our life from day to day. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're thankful, Lord, for the word of God, which is our counsel from day to day, that he helps us in our life, way that we go. We're thankful for the word of God that explains the wonders of God's word to us, the wonders of his work in our life, and his love for us. And Lord, I pray for that one who might be here this morning who has never accepted you as your personal Lord and Savior, that the word of God might show them that they have a need of a Savior. And Lord, help us to have that delight for the word of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I wonder, what does the word of God mean to you this morning? Do you have a delight to be in God's word? Or do you ignore God's word? Maybe you're here this morning, you slip of your hand, and by that gesture you'd be saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I have neglected God's word. I have not delighted in God's word at all. And I need to get back into reading God's word and delighting in God's word. And you slip up your hand this morning. Anyone at all? Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else this morning? Yes. Am I delighting in God's word? Am I following God's word? Or do I ignore God's word? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I'd like to pray for you this morning. My prayer will not save you, but this morning, have you accepted God as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, would you slip up your hand at this time that we might pray for you? Anyone at all? Our dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for those who raised their hands this morning saying that they have not been in the word of God as they ought to be. I pray, Lord, that you would help them this week to be in the word of God, to be studying the word of God, to be reading the word of God, to be under its teaching as much as possible. Lord, help us to have that delight. Help us to have that desire to be obedient to your word, to recognize the counsel that we receive from God's word. So honor yourself